Let's pray as we dive into God's word this morning. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us today to come before your presence, to enjoy beautiful music, to worship you and celebrate Christmas, certainly, Lord. But we're also here recognizing that we need a touch from you, God. We need a word from you. Some people here need a touch from you. Some people here need actual physical healing in their bodies, and we pray that you would touch them. Some people need healing in their minds and their emotions, and you pray that today you would touch them. Some people need relational healing. There's brokenness in families and marriages, and we pray that you would heal relationships today. And Father, I pray that you would minister to each one of us exactly what we need to hear and speak to our hearts today. I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen, praise God. In case you're wondering if this is one of your first times here, we have the children downstairs. They're obviously having a party, right? And that's what we want. I've told the children's ministers, listen, make sure the kids have a good time. The adults, you know, will be fine. But just make sure that the kids have a good time. So that's what's going on downstairs. Every Sunday, we feed the kids breakfast, and we share the love of Jesus with them. Amen? And so if this is your first time here, and you're in the community, we would love to have you back and have them experience that with us. Well, welcome officially again, and Merry Christmas to you all. I'm so thankful that you guys are here today. Today is a culmination of a four-week series that we started a few weeks ago. We talked about gifts of the season, remembering what really matters. And we've talked about the gift of joy, we've talked about the gift of peace, and we've also talked about the gift of forgiveness this past week. And so this week we're going to talk about the gift of love. Everyone say love.
Love.
Amen. That's what we're going to talk about today. Speaking of love, the love of my life is here. Right next to me. Can you give her a hand? Praise God. This is my wife, Amy. I'm gonna sneak in. There you go. All right. Thank you, honey. She is blessing us with her talent of painting and artistry. We're so thankful that she's willing to do that today. So I know it's a blessing to have her. And so today we're going to talk about the gift of the season, and that gift is of love. It's an interesting thing when we talk about gifts. My 4-year-old daughter, Sarah, a few weeks ago celebrated her 4th birthday. And anybody know that kids love to receive gifts? Did you know that? Yeah. FYI, and if you didn't know that, you'll find that out actually either tonight or tomorrow, depending on when you're opening gifts. But she has been kind of warming up to opening up gifts for her birthday, right? So that was on the 9th. But now every package that comes to my house now, she thinks is a gift for her, right? And she wants to go and open it. What is it? What is it? Princess, hold on. This is not for you. This is not a gift for you, right? We were at a celebration last night, and she wanted to open everyone else's gifts, too. It's like, hold on, princess. Right? But there's something about it. Obviously, our culture and Christmas, there's the whole idea of gifts under the tree, and it's beautiful. It's wonderful. As kids, we love that. But how many know that that's not ultimately what Christmas is all about? Did you know that? Ultimately, there's something else. This past Wednesday, our family was here and a couple of other people. We're going to have a prayer service. And before the prayer service began, somebody came and brought this gift. It was all nicely wrapped. And again, Sarah and my kids were here and Amy was here. We were going to pray. We're going to kind of come around and hold hands. We're all going to pray, okay? Okay, Daniel, are you ready? You know, everybody else ready? Sarah, are you ready? We're going to pray. She's like, yes, but I want to open the gift now. Okay, princess, okay, we're going to pray to God right now. We're going to leave the gift there in a little bit. And so we started to pray, and we finished, and okay, you know, how was the prayer? And she said, okay, can I open the gift now, please? And we're like, oh my goodness, she really wants to open the gift. We were praying to God, but she was focused on the gifts. And again, little kids, that's what kids do. That's what I did when I was a little guy. But it's interesting that sometimes we as adults, we are so distracted by so many different things that are going on during the Christmas holiday, whether it's gifts, whether it's making sure that everyone likes us in our family, making sure that everything is perfect for our children, that we sometimes miss the most important thing about Christmas, and that's what we want to talk about today, amen? We're going to talk about for the next few moments about the importance of love, the gift of this season, and we want to remember what really matters. So many important things. And we want to be focused on the right things. Sometimes we are focused on ourselves, on our happiness, getting something for us. But it's not about me, it's not about us. Christmas is about something bigger than that. We have read some wonderful Christmas passages today, this morning already. Passages that tell the story of the one that came into the world. And today, we're going to explore a verse that is very well known to you, probably, most likely well known to you. At least you've heard it before. But it gives us the reason for Christmas. Everyone say, the reason for Christmas. The reason for Christmas. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. The Bible says this. See if you recognize this passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is John 3:16. You see it in football games painted on people's faces or cleats, and people are putting the signs up, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So today, for the remainder of our time, we're just going to go through this verse and talk about what it meant and what it means for Christmas. Amen? Is that cool? So we're going to start right off. It says, for God is the first part. Say, for God. God is the central character of human history. God was there at the beginning. He is the creator. He is the lawgiver. God is the savior of his people. He is the one that makes everything work. Without God, there would be nothing. So it is very appropriate for this most famous passage of the Bible to begin with, for God. He is the author. The author is trying to bring clarity to something he had said previously. When you say for something, you're trying to bring clarity. We're not going to dive into the scripture before today, but in John chapter 3, there's an amazing conversation between a man named Nicodemus and the Lord that we worship, Jesus, and they're talking to each other. And the culmination of that conversation is John 3:16, for God. Do you believe in God today? The Christmas story is primarily and first and foremost about God. Nothing works without God. And I'll just say very quickly, there is an attempt throughout the world, throughout history, there's always been an attempt to quiet down God. To try, let's not talk about God. And let's imagine that we came from somewhere else. And all I will say is God is always seated on the throne. And no matter how many people try to get him out of the way, God is seated and he's strong, he's powerful. For God, everyone say, for God. So loved. For God, so loved. The God, this God is a God that loves. Scripture declares that God is love. We all long for love. There's a lot of songs that have been written about love, right? Some of you might remember there's a song, All We Need Is Love. Da-da-da-da-da, right? Young people, just come ask me about that later, okay? There's another song, there's a woman, a famous woman named Tina Turner who sang, Oh, what's love got to do with it, right? Love. It's a song about love. There's another famous song that goes, What the world needs now is love. There you go. Right. So, we love songs about love and movies about love. I remember when Titanic came out. It's beautiful. It's love. I Googled the top streamed song this year. I think around the world, not necessarily just in America, but around the world. It was the number one, according to, again, I just put top songs of 2017, and this was the song that came up. It had even beaten out Despacito. And if you don't know what Despacito is, just come talk to me after the service, okay? And so this song actually beat it out, and I'm usually totally out of the loop when it comes to like top songs these days, but I actually listened to this song. The song is called The Shape of You. Again, I never, okay, we got an amen for that one, that's cool. don't worry, I'm not going to destroy your song or anything. I'm just talking about love, for God so loved. And this particular song, I was curious, you know, I wonder, this is the number one song, I wonder how many times or how many references there are to love in this song. And so I just looked at a couple of, I listened to it and I found a couple of kind of references to love. One of the references in the song, it says, girl, you know I want your love. Right? Another expert says, your love was handmade for somebody like me. I don't know the guy, so I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not. Right? Then another one says, I'm in love with the shape of you. Isn't that poetic? I'm in love with the shape of you. And then he stops the poetry and he says, I'm in love with your body. Couple of things I want to say about this. Girl, you know I want your love. There's a kind of a demanding sound to that. You know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Notice it's for me, right? I'm in love with the shape of you. Your shape is what I'm in love with. And not anything else. And then he stops pretending. He says, listen, forget all that poetry. I'm in love with your body. Okay? That's what the deal is. I'm in love with your body. He explicitly said, I'm in love with your physical attributes. Isn't that great, ladies? Isn't that what you dream about? Someone who says, listen, I don't care about your mind. I don't care about your heart. I don't care about your dreams. All I care about is your body. Lord have mercy. Now, again, I talk about it. I'm not destroying the song. It's kind of catchy. I listened to it twice, and at some point I was walking around like, girl, I want you. Wait, no. What's going on? So I understand why it's number one. There's a catchy tune to it. Number one song in the world. This is the message of love. I want your love. As a sidebar comment, it's no wonder that we live in a country where oftentimes kids are bullied and shame. There's some are doing horrible things like cutting themselves because ultimately they're so ashamed about their shape, about the way that their body looks, because everything in the culture says this is what is important. It's ultimately the message that the world is sending to us. It's interesting, in most of our culture, when we love something, we want it, right? I love your body, so I want it. I love steak, so I want to consume it. I love a pet, so I want to have one. I love sports, so I want to play them and watch them. It's a consumer mentality. Are you with me? Right? Often they think, I love tacos. What does that mean? I want to eat tacos. Sorry if I'm making you hungry. Our way of usually thinking of love is that when we love something, we want it for ourselves. Or if we love someone, we want them to love us back. There's something about the direction where it's coming. The title of this series is Gifts of the Season, Remembering What Really Matters. And we're talking about love today. But I believe that it has to be better than the kind of love described by our culture and by this world. I'm in love with your body. That's what we have to look forward to. In this most famous passage of Scripture, the Scripture says, for God so loved. I'll just say this. God's kind of love is different than the love that this guy's talking about in this song. And I want us to take a look at that together. It's a different kind of love that God is talking about. I want you to notice that the object of love, for God so loved, what's the next part? The what? The world. God loved the world. This Christmas, may you and I be reminded that the Creator God loves the world. It's a different kind of love, and we're going to see and talk about that in the next few moments here. But God so loved the world. He loves people from all different places around the world. Did you know that? God loves America. God loves South America. God loves Puerto Rico. Hallelujah. God loves Africa. He loves the Middle East. God loves the nation of Israel. Listen, I believe that there's something special about the nation of Israel because it's all throughout the Scriptures, and I believe that, and I affirm that there's a special relationship between God and that nation. But I also believe that God loves people in Iran and Iraq, in Saudi Arabia. For God so loved the what? The world. This message of love is from God for everyone. It's for the world. It's for white people, and it's for black people. It's for brown people. It's from people from different kinds of ethnicities. It's for Christian nations, and it's for Muslim nations. Do you know that Jesus Christ, the gospel, is penetrating Muslim nations? Do you know that there are Muslim men and women who are waking up to dreams about Jesus and giving their lives to God? And listen, all that means is this. We must pray for the world because God loves the entire world. Amen? God so loved the world. It's a different kind of love. Notice the trajectory. Girl, I want your love, right? Your love was meant for somebody like me. I'm in love with you, but I want. Notice that's a trajectory. Notice this. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave. He gave something. From him to someone else. From him to the world. It's a different trajectory, right? I have this microphone in my hand. If I'm going to give it to Sister Alicia.
No, I don't have the mic. giving something is something in our possession. It translates into the other person. I give it to someone else. Now I don't have it, but they do. And so the love of God is a giving love. Everyone say, He gave. God so loved the world that He gave something. Loving is giving, and giving is loving. True love is not about getting a person or a thing. It's about what we give. The problem oftentimes is that giving is hard. We want to receive. We want to take. For God so loved the world that He gave. He transferred possession of something that was His. If you don't have a lot of money, don't raise your hand today. But if you don't have a lot of money, how many of you know that there's a difference between giving someone $5 and giving them $500? You know that? There's a difference, right? Especially when you don't have a lot of it. What's the difference? The difference is the value. $500 for someone who doesn't have very much money is very valuable. $5 is valuable, but not as valuable. And if you give something like that, it's a greater value gift. If you're a millionaire, giving $500 might not make a difference to you. It might not be sacrificial. Jesus told a story. He said they were in the temple, and His disciples were with Him. And in the temple, it was offering time, right? And people were coming up and giving large amounts of money. They were giving checks here. They were giving all this stuff. And this woman comes up, and she gives a few pennies. She puts it in the bucket. And Jesus nudges the disciples and says, "Hey, guys, listen, that lady right there, she just gave, I know she just gave a little, but that she gave more than everyone else." And the disciples were like, "Jesus, what are you talking about? I mean, you know, she gave a little bit. All these other people are giving large amounts of money, $100 bills and all kinds of stuff." And Jesus said, "Yeah, but listen, they gave out of their abundance. They gave out of the huge stuff. That they just gave a little bit out of the huge thing that they have. But this woman, listen, she's given everything she has. And because she gave everything, it was the most valuable." Are you with me? The value matters. Jesus told this story. "For God so loved the world that He gave." True love gives. It does not take. Something happens inside of me. I want to show love to my spouse. I want to show love to my kids. I want to show love to people. That has to come out. God's kind of love is a giving kind of love. Amen? "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." His one and only Son. God has all the money, all the resources in the world. So when God looked at the world and He loved the world, He gave the world the most precious, most valuable thing that He could give. And that most precious, valuable thing was His Son. It says He gave His one and only Son. Anybody have a son or a daughter? Anybody ever, even just for a season, have an only son or daughter? Something about an only child, an only son, an only daughter. I remember when my son Daniel was born, for years he was the only one in our home. We couldn't have more children for a while. He was our one and only. We invested in him. We spent time with him. We loved him. He was our one and only son. And in my wildest dreams, I could not imagine giving him away for any reason. He was my one and only. What would I do for my son? I think just about anything to save him. I was reminded of a movie the other day called John Q with Denzel Washington. It's an older movie. In the movie, Denzel's character's son falls to the ground during a baseball game, and it's discovered that he has a heart condition. And the hospital tells him he actually needs significant surgery, but it costs a lot of money. And without the surgery, he's not going to survive. And so Denzel Washington had been an upstanding citizen his whole life, but he is desperate because his son is dying and he doesn't have the money to save him. Are you with me? And so as the story goes, Denzel just does everything he can. He actually takes people hostage in a hospital and doctors hostage and says, "My son needs surgery. He needs to live." In a very moving part of the movie, and I won't give the whole thing away in case you want to check it out, but in a very moving part of the movie, the surgeon is there in front of the child, and he tells the dad, "Listen, he needs a heart transplant immediately, or he's going to die. And we don't have a heart to give him." And the dad says, "Take my heart. Take my heart." And he said, "No, we can't do that. We, we can't do that. And the people, even the people that he had held hostage, were now kind of falling in love with this man because he had a heart for his son. And the people said, but man, that means you're going to die. And the dad says, yes, I will die, but my son will live. What would you do for your one and only? The scriptures say that God so loved the world, his love was so true, that he was willing to give his one and only son. True love gives. That's why when somebody is presented with a message of God, a message of the gospel, and somebody says to God, I don't believe in Jesus, I reject Jesus, what they are doing is, I'm rejecting the most valuable thing that you had to give was your son, and you gave him so that he would raise up, he would grow to live a perfect life, stretch out his hands on the cross, and die for the sins of humanity. And anyone who rejects that is rejecting the best thing that God has to offer. That's why there's nothing else left. If somebody says no to Jesus, there's nothing else left, because God gave the best that he could, the most valuable, his son. In the movie John Q, the dad is willing to give anything for his son. That's natural. In the story of God, the father was willing to give his son, listen, for you and for me, so that we, our hearts could be renovated. We can receive a heart transplant. No longer a sinful heart. No longer a heart full of greed and envy. But Jesus comes, and when we believe, we trust in him, and something happens on the inside. I can't be angry like I used to. I can't swear like I used to. I can't be a womanizer like I used to. I can't do the drugs that I used to. Because God is, something is happening inside of me. And sometimes that will take time for me to work it out. How many of you know that not all Christians are perfect? Did you know that? People who come to Christ still have issues, still have struggles, but God is working on the inside of us, of you and me today. The Son was given and Christmas happened. We celebrate that giving of the Son every year in Christmas time. It's a beautiful celebration. The gift of the season is remembering that what really matters is that God so loved you, he gave the most valuable thing he could give, his Son. Invaded from heaven straight into the manger, and that transfer happened, and God spoke to the angel who spoke to Mary and said, you're going to have a son. God is going to invade the world. I'll finish with this. Some years ago, the Soviet Union was the first country to have a man orbit the Earth in space. And again, I don't know all the details about that story, but here's what I remember from the story. They sent a man into space, and he orbited the Earth, and that's probably when you remember that the United States said, oh, we gotta put a man in the moon before the Russians do. We gotta do it quickly. But the Russians did it first. They did the sending a man into space first. And it's told in history that the ruler, the leader of the Soviet Union said, we have sent a man into space, and we have found that God was not there. And so our official religion is atheism, because we put a man in space and God was not there. There's a Christian author named C.S. Lewis who had a response to that statement that the Russian leader made. He said, you know, us going, you know, trying to talk to God, trying to meet with God, is not like a person on the first floor trying to see a person on the second floor. He says, it would be more like this. Anybody know who Shakespeare is? Right? And he tells a story. He says, it would be more like if Shakespeare wrote famous books, famous author, right? He wrote Romeo and Juliet and a play called Hamlet. And he said, C.S. Lewis said this, for us to meet God, it would be like asking Hamlet, a character in Shakespeare's story. Are you with me? Hamlet, expecting him to know Shakespeare. Well, Shakespeare created the character. Shakespeare created the whole story. How can Hamlet, a character in the story, know the author of the story? And C.S. Lewis says this, the only way that that Hamlet could get to know Shakespeare is if the author, the creator of the play, wrote himself into the play. He says, only if Shakespeare writes himself in there, maybe Hamlet could get a grasp of who this creator Shakespeare was. Loved ones, in Christmas time, God wrote himself into our story. He became a human being And he showed us who he is by sending his son, Jesus. He wrote himself into the story of your life and mine. He became one of us that we may see, hear, and understand and follow him. God wrote himself into your story and mine by loving us so much that he gave his son. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died. His love became flesh and dwelt among us.